We've somehow, for numbers of years, tried to follow the revelation of Jesus Christ. As it was when Paul said that he went up in conference with Peter by revelation, we've tried to follow the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in doing it, God has been very gracious to us. He hath revealed to us the wonderful things of God. He has shown us where to go and what to do. It's kind of like the song that Dale Lynn was singing, the song that I wrote, Far Away Fields. Right now, we've got quite a number of things that's coming up in the faraway fields, and we're looking forward to it. There's something about it that fascinates us, and getting to the other side of the ocean and winning souls, it fascinates me. And so, we're all here to worship God and to use our gifts and skills for Him. And, of course, there's just a lot of things I'd like to say to you today. Numbers of things. Concerning the revelation of the Son of God, and perhaps we will say a few things, maybe drop in a little thought here and there. Usually it's kind of hard to do that. It's kind of hard to do that unless you have a special congregation, a special anointing. The Bible said one spirit, many operations. You just got one Holy Ghost, one spirit, and there's many operations. Now, Paul tells us that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So, if people begin to say things or prophesy or do things against the ministry and against the audience, then that is the work of the devil. See, because God never at any time in any assembly gives an anointing to speak against the Word of God or the Spirit of God or the things of God. No man speaking by the Spirit of God will ever do that. So we know that we're here to love the Lord, to worship God together, to glorify Christ, to join in, and to do something for the Lord Jesus. You might say, well, Brother Pike, what if I hear something I don't believe? Well, just pray about it. That doesn't give you any right to jump up and interrupt the services of the Almighty God. I hear a lot of things in Senate that I don't believe and don't understand, but they don't allow me to go up and rebuke the president and break up the assembly. I just have to sit back till I can learn what it's all about, and if I accept it, good and well. If I don't, I just have to learn to live with it. And if it's really something as a tyrant that somebody's doing, then I have to use wisdom and get me a group of people and work it according to the law, and then go up and interrupt the system and bring it to a terminal point, and then do something for the benefit of society. But I can't jump up with a gun, and I can't go to blatant off, you know, I'll wind up in the penitentiary or in the electric chair. Even though I do voice my opinion very freely, and you should too, against evil and against wrong, yet we have to work within the law. No man is crowned unless he runs according to the rules. The Bible said that we have to run according to the rules. And as Jack brought out last night, if we're striving for mastery, it has to be according to the rules. And this is the rule book. And we are here to help you find your way in the rule book. If you find that we leave the Word of God, if we do something that you don't understand or that isn't right, you know that it isn't right, come to the brethren. Call a conference. Call them together. Don't rebuke elders and treat them as fathers. And the brothers and sisters love with all purity, Paul said, as not to be lustful but be godly. And when you find something, you say, well, I know that that's not Bible. And I run into that quite often. Then what you need to do is confront the preacher or somebody else. But don't come around with an old protruding spirit rebuking somebody or pointing your finger and say, thus. God will cut your tree down and he'll set your fields on fire, as Brother Jack Coe used to say. You let God work that out. And if the ladies find something that they're displeased with, then you work through the men. You work through the ministry. You work through your husband. You work through the men folk and get that to the brethren and let them consider that. But you remain as one with shamefacedness and soberness or sobriety as to do the things that God has commanded you to do. Let every man abide in his calling, wherein he's called, and it'll be such a beautiful thing But if one gets out of order, one gets contrary, then there is a problem. So there's a lot of things I say that I'd like to say here to you. And maybe I will just in talking, or maybe I'll do something that might enlighten you in the revelation of the Lord if he suffers me to do it. Paul was speaking to some people over there, and he perceived that some of them perhaps wasn't receiving as well as they should, or they wasn't as open-minded as they should have been as to incorporate these things within their lifestyle. So then Paul said, let the men or the people that are listening to me acknowledge that the things that I speak unto you or write unto you are the commandments of God. So then these are the commandments of God that we're sharing with you. And the order of the church is very, very needful. I find the church out of order in a lot of places I go. I find tent meetings out of order wherever we go. And as a matter of fact, over in Israel, just a few days ago, over in the Holy Land, we found some things out of order. We went into a church. And here was a group of people, fine people. I think they were very fine people, because I had encountered some things with this kind of people over in the state of Nebraska in my real early ministry. And these people were very, very fine people, seemed to be very fine people. They'd called us up and asked us if we'd come to their assembly. And their way of doing things was to sit in a group. And just sit in a group and nobody say anything and nobody do anything until one felt to do it. And he would get up, and then the other one would get up, and then the other one would get up. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, of getting in a group, sitting around, praising God, waiting for somebody to get up and say something. But when you come to an assembly like this, you don't do things like that. That's out of order. See, the Bible said, let everything be done in order. You have a pastor. You have a fivefold ministry. They are shepherds and they are leaders. They do not sit around and wait until they decide to get up. And they do not get up to get anointed. It is not necessary for them to get up to get anointed. A lot of folks say, well, I'll listen at you, Brother Pike, or I'll listen at you, Brother Taylor, whoever it might be. I'll listen at you, Brother Jack, if you are anointed. See, and I know it's God, but it has nothing to do with it. See, they are God's anointed. They don't have to get anointed. The Bible said this anointing abideth within them. I've said this so often. You may meet them down at the local station, a store. You may meet them on the corner, and they're just liable to preach you a sermon right there, because they're God's anointed. And so then they have the authority and they have the rulership. The Bible said to honor the brotherhood and obey them that have the rulership over you. These have rulership, Paul said, as to taking the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his blood. So we come together, and these men are the men that are in order. Now, if they are not in shape to get up and take the leadership, the congregation needs to get together and talk to God and see if they can't get him a shepherd, because that fellow is not a minister. That person is not a minister. And if they are in shape to get up and take the leadership, then they need to do so to keep down confusion. Well, as a result of both of the times that I had visited these places, it was confusion. In Nebraska, while they all sat around, the congregation sitting there waiting for the minister to do whatever was needful, nobody moved, and everybody was supposedly waiting on the Lord, and just whoever wanted to got up. And so finally, a young lady got up, and she took her baby, and she went up to the altar and changed his diaper on the altar while they were waiting, which to me, I thought was just unheard of. But nevertheless, they had it that way, you know, so she had her rights. And it was the same way over in Israel. They had it to where anybody could get up, and sure enough, a fellow that did not belong to their assembly, that the preacher had not trained to do like he wanted them to do, he come along and he got up and he took the service, and it was a mass of confusion. Whole thing ended up in confusion. Whereas I thought the man said some good things, you know, and he wasn't out of order to the extent they gave him the liberty to do it. So to avoid those things, we have the ministry, and the Bible said when you come together, you're to have a doctrine. You're to have a tongue. You're to have a revelation. You're to have all these things. If it's a prophecy, let them prophesy one at a time. The others judge. All of you can speak according to the word of the Lord if you're anointed of the Lord. If you have a tongue, then have an interpretation. The Bible said that all things might be done unto edifying. People don't need to just jump up and speak in tongues and speak in tongues. Somebody said this is Pentecostal. No, it's not Pentecostal. It's confusion. Nothing Pentecostal about it. Pentecostal was the church that God set in order. So then, the Bible is the word of God, and the ministry that has authority is the ones that's to say yea or nay. Not some woman or man or person jumping up and saying, well, bless God, I've been a Christian for 10 years. It doesn't matter if you've been in it 15 years. It doesn't change the word of God. You're to remain silent, and those authorities are to speak, and you're to move according to the anointing of God. So I said that to try to get over a thought here, that these things are the commandment of God. The Bible said, if any of you think yourself to be spiritual or to be a prophet, whatever you think yourself to be, you know, then let them acknowledge that these things are the commandments of God. So we're glad to have you here. We praise the Lord for you. And I'm sure that some of you would not be afraid to speak out in service or wherever. I've spoke out in service, anointed of God to do so, and sometimes directly to the preacher while everybody listens. But the thing is, we do what we are told to do by God according to the word. If Brother Pike does something, or if you do something and it's not on the word, then it's of the devil. So we praise the Lord for these things, these visions that we're having. A lot of them are of God. There are what you call filthy dreamers that's always got a vision and some kind of dream about the preacher or about the true laity of God or the true children of God. And they're always wanting to put the people of God down. And they've got a vision. And they do have a vision of Satan. There's three minds, as we teach a lot of times. These minds, they only have one brain to use. Several minds, but one brain to use. And that's your brain. And of course, we have some teachings on this concerning these minds. These minds are ever talking to you. This is the way people get bound with demons and filled with the devil. I can walk up and talk to a person, and in a few minutes, unless the Lord hides it, no matter how calm they are or what kind of person they are, if the Lord don't hide it, I'll discern the devil if they've got one. Sometimes more than one devil you'll discern. And these minds, they use the one brain. And we have to be sure that it is God that is using our brain at all times, meditating in the laws of God day and night, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, not leaning to our own understanding. So it's needful that the church get in order, because we're getting ready for the translation of what they refer to as the rapture. Jack said last night, time is running out. So we are getting ready for this great memorial thing in Christ Jesus, the headship of the church. He cannot return until the church is in order. Right now we say, well, the Lord can't come back because it ain't time. That is true. But as Jack said again last night, all of the things of God are predetermined. This is foreknowledge. The time is always with God as to whenever he gets ready to do anything. He could have said it in his will as to whatever he wanted from the foundation of the world as to coming sooner. But see, the thing is, though time is running out, yet we have to get in order. We have to be ready. Though time is running out, we can't just idly do what we want to while the time is running out. Even if we are unaware of the fact that the time is running out, it's going to be just as severe with us as if we knew that the time was running out. So we can't idle our time away when we know that time is running out. It is necessitated to our life of Christianity and walking with Jesus that we know the signs of the time and know whether or not the Lord is near at hand, or know what God is doing it, the way that he's doing it, and why he is doing it. We should know the detail and revelation of why that he is doing it. So, again, I said that to try to clear up some things here in your mind. And that is that the Lord Jesus is coming back to the church soon. He's ready to make his return, and the only reason that he hasn't returned is not a matter of time element involved. It's a matter that the church is all out of order. And he cannot come back until it is perfectly in order. All of us are ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. As to a centralization, as to the building of the great pyramid city, going up into this great capstone. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but the problem with Babylon was, it wasn't that they decided to make themselves a name. That wasn't the problem, to the extent that God would have made allowance if they had been building toward the cornerstone. But the old Babylonian system, as we see it today, as was typified by the natural in the Old Testament, it was going up like the pyramid over in Egypt toward the star of the dragon. And it was being built toward a preeminence that was not of God. And the Lord went down and he began to smite and he began to cause division and he began to scatter and he began to confound, and great confusion came. And they left off with building that great monument. The Bible said if God had not done this, there would not have been anything hid from them. They would have went on. They was going to build it to heaven. And they would have went on and they would have built that thing right on up. Now, somebody said, well, I don't think they would have done it. Well, they came back and they made their nest among the stars when they landed the little ship on the moon. And the Bible said that Satan, that is the old world of science, would make its nest among the stars. Said it would climb up to heaven, and the only religious thing that it took was a Catholic quotation. And it made its nest among the stars. He said, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. So then they climbed up to the stars. They made their nest. They called it a nest when they landed. And we predicted that they would do that. And so they did that. Now, when we come to the New Testament and we find them building the great pyramid city, from the beginning there at Pentecost, the capstone, the Lord Jesus had come crying, grace, grace, grace. As the prophet of old said, grace, mercy for you and me. And they rejected him. And then Paul came as the Christ and as the great wise master builder with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he started building a great city of lively stones, erecting these stones in the direction of the great capstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the all-seeing eye, our supreme overseer. And upon the foundation that the Lord Jesus had laid, even the 12 foundations of the apostolic teachers, we find their names in the foundation of that new city. And building upon this foundation and warning us that other foundations could no man lay except this which Jesus had laid himself, and that we were to take heed how we build thereupon. Every stone is built in his direction, coming up to give him praise, honor, and glory. And the Bible teaches even to the extent that in that day no man shall save them, but the Lord himself. And he shall be exalted above all, like the songwriter said, he outshined them all. And so then from the beginning of the building of this great pyramid, he has not confounded it, neither has he stopped it as the Babylonian system, but he has encouraged it, he hath worked with it, and gave Paul the master plan for building this to glorify the lovely Son of God. If you notice that the church is narrowing down and narrowing down and narrowing down. See, the Bible said in that day, those that belong to God shall be so few that even a child shall be able to number them. And they're numbering down and numbering down and numbering down. They're coming on down. You might wonder about that, but I've said this quite a number of times. I'd like to make mention of it. I hope I can just talk to you just a little bit this morning. As I've said, in the days of Noah, there was a great deluge, and there was 8 people saved. And then the next great deluge, as to the judgments of God, Sodom and Gomorrah, we just come back from that place of looking at it. Over there, Sodom and Gomorrah, there was just half that many saved. And then as it went on down, and they made their crossing of the Jordan, another great deluge, there was only 2 of them that were saved. And I'm talking about them that come out of Egypt. Somebody said, well, Joshua was raised up and took the people on into Canaan. No, that's not true at all. Joshua was raised up and all the elders died in the wilderness, and Joshua took the youth that was born to those people into Canaan. So when they got down there to cross the Jordan, there was only 2 of them that were saved. That was just half of what had been saved before. And each time it was cut down. And then when the next great deluge come, it was at Calvary. And God divided asunder. And the Bible said the veil was rent in twain. And even the 2 of them was divided, and there was only 1 that was saved. It was cut in half again, and that was the Lord Jesus. So it keeps narrowing down and narrowing down and narrowing down. As the pyramid goes up, it keeps narrowing down until after a while there's just going to be 1 left, and that's the capstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes over to Calvary to show us that in the natural, that we might see also in the spiritual, that it's narrowing down to that one great preeminence, that one great thing, which is the man-child, that will be ruler of all of the universe and of heaven and of earth. And all of us are becoming one in Him. One in Him, until we get to this great, wonderful oneness of this great Jesus, the head of the church, and then we will be so compact together that the whole thing will be just one great pyramid, a capstone of a city that will capstone humanity, giving the church the preeminence as one with the great headship, even the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of His body in particular. And the great light of this revelation, in that the Bible said in that city they'll have no need for the light, for the Lamb is the light of that city. And this great unveiled Christ will radiate through this wonderful celestial city of those celestial bodies, of the lively stones, and all of the world will walk in the light of that city. So see, it's needful for us to go on to this great, wonderful revelation and receive the full reward and be the bride of Christ, or be one with Him. For the Bible says concerning John, and I, John, saw the holy city descending from God, coming down out of heaven, whose light was most precious, even like that of a jasper stone. See, so we know that that is the bride of Christ, whose city is that? It is your city and my city. And how is that city composed of you and I as the lively stones, as the radiance of the jewels? He said in Malachi, I will remember you when I come to make up my jewels. I will spare you as a man spareth his son, for you spoke of me so many times. He said, in them that spake often of me, I wrote a book of remembrance of them, or I will write a book of remembrance. And I will spare them when I come to make up my jewels, even as a man spareth his son. So if we are the bride of Christ, and we're that holy city with this beautiful light, and the Lamb is within this body of believers, and He is that light, the Lamb is the light, And we are one with that light, even as the little bulb is one with the mechanism on the inside. The little filament, there comes the power into that little filament as to Christ within you, the hope of glory. And Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we're one. And he said, to give them the same glory I had with thee before the world was. They saw this glory as he appeared with Moses and Elijah on the mountain. Father, glorify these with the same glory. I say this so often, people. If you go to praising a preacher, you go to helping somebody, you go to magnifying somebody, go to lifting up somebody, you know, when you go to do this, somebody says you don't have to be careful. They're taking God's glory, or you're giving God's glory, or you're overdoing it, these kind of things. But see, I say this so often, God has already given us his glory. That's the kind of glory I have. That's the kind of glory you have. God has already given us this glory. If we are one with him, we already have this glory. For Christ in you is the hope of that glory. He is the glory of God. And that glory is a little at a time breaking forth within the members of our body, even to the extent that Stephen's face shone as an angel, and even as Moses, whose face shone so he had to put a veil over his face so that the glory would not blind the people. This is the same glory that's blinding the world out there. This is the same glory. They cannot get close to this light because they are creatures of darkness. But they know that this is the glory of God. So what they do, they come up with a religious formality, from everything to counting beads to everything that you can think of religiously. They come up with these things and it becomes a veil. And I said that to be able to get around to this. I had a night vision the other night, and in the night vision, I was a very poor boy. I didn't even have my wife or my children or anyone. And I had a little old valise. I had folded the valise up, looked kind of nice. And I was walking down the road. I don't know exactly where I was going, but I was walking down the road. And while I was going down the road, I saw big, beautiful Cadillacs and Lincolns and all kinds of things going by. And the highway was fully taken up with these vehicles. And just a little edge on the side, and I was walking along this little edge, and somebody back over here, they hollered at me, and they said, you better look out, you'll get killed by those cars, or hit by those cars. And I just kept on walking because I knew in my mind what I was doing, and I was waiting for a break to where I could get across there and get to the other side. And while I was walking along, I looked down at the edge, and when I looked down at the edge, it was a little doll. A little doll was laying there on a blanket. And I looked at this little doll, and when I looked at this little doll, I thought, I better pick that up. Somebody will run over. So I went over and picked it up, and when I picked it up, it was a live baby. It was a healthy baby, a live baby. And I picked up the blanket and picked up the little baby, and I had it in my arms. And back over here, over to the side, these people that had hollered at me, it was the church people. I don't know who they were. They were strangers to me. But anyway, they hollered at me and they said, you found the baby. You found the baby. And I thought, well, what is this? You know, and I had the baby. It was a strong, healthy little old baby. And they said, you found the baby. You found the baby. And then they hollered at me and said, are you going to give it to the church? Are you going to give it to the church? And I was standing there and said, well, I don't know. You know, I thought in my mind, I don't know what I'm going to do with this baby. You know, but there was seemed to be a little veil that was between me and these people or the church. There was a little veil, and I knew that I could give the baby to the church, but that if I did give the baby, I had to break through this veil. I had to break through the veil before they could get the baby. Well, anyway, this is what I see happening in this camp meeting. Now, Brother Jack preached last night. It was no coincidence. I watch people in Revelation as to what this man has to do with the body of Christ, what this man has to do, or this woman, or this woman. And each one of them has a great spiritual significance as to their life. A lot of people, they're just nonchalant. You know, they just do any old thing. They just use their life up in any old way, just eating and drinking and just kind of Bucky used to say lollygogging or lollygagging around, he called it. I don't know what that means, but that was his word. Bucky was a judge, a natural judge. He called it lollygagging. But anyway, people, if that's the answer, they just kind of lollygag, you know. And they waste a valuable life with valuable potentials. They have great God potentials, and they waste it just lollygagging around. And this is what God wants us to do. Every individual is born for a purpose. Now, if you spend your life sucking on a weed, you're doing nothing but lollygagging. Hallelujah. Amen. So, if you spend your time just chewing on the cud, you know, or maybe you don't chew on cud, like goats, they're bad about chewing on rags. You've heard of people chewing the rag. And maybe you gossip, maybe you backbite, and I'm liable to get to preaching if I keep on talking. But anyway, you know, you do these things, and it isn't right. But what you don't realize is that is a valuable life that you are using up. That you have been given a potential that can change you from a human being into a God. Come on, folks. You have the potential, when you're born into the world, you have the potential that if you will listen, when the Word of God comes forth, and when God begins to present His cause, you have the potential to change into a God. I'm talking about becoming an eternal God, to where you will never die, you will be eternally youthful, you will be eternally rich, you will be filled with the wonderful magnificence of God. Somebody say amen. So then, Jesus told them in the Old Testament, I have called ye gods, but ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge of your godship. So then, naturally people who are just babes in Christ, whether preachers or whatever, they're going to run around as one that beateth the air, don't understand what they're doing. They just want to be seen and want to be heard, and they act real spiritual, and they'll prophesy and dance and do anything. Holler, scream, run, you know, and they go around and they come against the Scriptures not knowing. Because sometimes they're little babes. They don't understand. Somebody's perverted their minds and got them off trail, and they won't listen long enough to learn. You know, like when Washington was in the snow, this angelic being come to Washington and said, Son of the Republic, look and learn. Peter said, look on us. So then, they won't do that. They say, I got a ministry. I got a message. Well, I don't deny that. Any sober, sane person wouldn't deny that you've got a ministry if you call to the ministry. Wouldn't deny that you're Christian, you know, if you've got this infilling of the Spirit. But I want to say this again. A child born into the world just has life. It may kick its little feet and it may scream, it may holler until it gets a bottle in its mouth, but it just has life. It doesn't have any understanding. It is just now coming into the world with life. And the life is going to grow bigger and greater and bigger and greater. As Brother Gary said concerning his vision, that the Spirit on him began to enlarge, or the Spirit within him began to enlarge, and he began to prophesy. As a matter of fact, he came to me with a personal word of prophecy. But anyway, you may be just a little baby. And a lot of times, you know, we grow up and we say, bless God, that elder, I'll tell him, you know, just a little teenager. You know, I'll tell him, I'll show him. We've got something good going now. We're modern today. You can't do like them old-fashioned folks back there. But nevertheless, the Bible said, ask for the old paths and walk therein and you'll find peace. You'll find peace. And it said, don't move the landmarks of the fathers. Now, you might go out there and you might fudge a little bit, as the world says, and you might get on the other man's property, and he might be a good fellow, and he might leave you alone. But if he ever does begin to check up, run abstracts on the land, and begin to check up on his boundaries, he'll come out there, and he'll find you on his property. Then, when he does, he'll turn you over to the law, and then you'll learn better than to move the landmarks. So then God gives every man his prerogative of life and gives him his own sovereignty. And we're not to trespass. We're to work together. And if you are a babe, that's good. God bless you. What's better than being a son of God? Whether a babe or whatever. And if you are a father or a mother in the gospel, the Bible said that Paul said, I've begotten you as the father in the gospel. Though you may have 10,000 instructors, yet I'm your father in the gospel. See, that's great. I mean, that's wonderful, you know. If you are as a teenager, if you are a growing up, or if you are a father, if you are a mother, the Bible speaks of the mothers in Israel. If you are, then that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called. Whatever his measure is, whatever his rank is, let him be subject to the higher power. If he is a sergeant, let him be subject to the captain, because that's a higher power. And if he's a captain, let him be subject to the colonel. That's a higher power. And if he's a colonel, let him be subject to the general, and the general to the president, or whatever it might be. And even as Moses, subject unto God to build that pyramid city unto that one great eternal one, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, to give him glory and praise and honor for all of these things. Glad to see you here this morning. There's just so many things that we could say to you. I want to read a little scripture here and exhort you just a little bit, and we'll try to let you go. Don't forget the services tonight. We could go on and go on as the anointing speaks. We have gone on all night long till the rising of the sun. Glad to have you here. Glad to have Denny here today. When we was down at the Armagard meeting there, was over the place seeking the Lord a little. And while I was seeking the Lord, I picked up Denny's spirit. And I thought, well, Denny's in the area somewhere. And sure enough, yeah, in a little bit, he went by in his car by the window there. And last night, I was talking to the Lord, and I went into a vision. And in the vision, I saw Brother Denny in this vision, and he was just kind of standing by like he's sitting out there now while we was nearby and talking. And all of a sudden, he just kind of got a hold of himself some way as to get in and want to really help me in what I had to do. But in this, I had an authority. There had been an authority that had been invested in me. And I was supposed to go before an audience, and I was supposed to convey this authority. And this particular man that was who was in line for something, he got around close to where I was, and he began to talk with me. And he told me exactly what he wanted me to say. And he was an authority. And he told me what he wanted to say, and that when I said something to him, this was what I was supposed to say, you know. And he indoctrinated me with it, that I was supposed to say it to him as to give him a supremacy above all, and to say it to him to be a thing from now on to where it couldn't be changed. And I listened to that, you know, because I don't go around just rebuking people and mocking people, whether it's dreams, visions, whatever. I listen very reverently, because you could blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you know. So I listened very reverently. But anyway, this individual, he felt that way, and he wanted me to do that. So I went to another authority, which was a great authority. And I told him, after I thought it over, I told him, I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm not going to do that. And he looked at me. He was an elderly man. And he looked at me with real pleased-like, because I took that outlook. I didn't know what kind of response was going to get out of it. But he was real happy over it. I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, I'm not going to stand up there and convey an authority to that man just for his pleasure and to make him the preeminence and fix it to where that nobody can change it. It seemed in the vision I had the power to do that. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And this man was real happy, and he rose up out of his seat and looked on me like a son, and he decided that he was going to go with me because he wanted to hear what I was going to do. And I done made up my mind what I was going to do, and I had to step into a room for a few minutes and I would come right back out. And I stepped into this room where there's quite a number of people that look like dignitaries. But I came back out, and when I was coming back out, and when I was getting ready to come back out to do whatever I was going to do, the vision went away. So again, I know that that has to do with this meeting. The finding of the baby, the conveying of the authority, and these things that God has spoken to us about has great significance. You know, we get to be such routinists that we come to church and our thought is this. It's time to preach. Preacher, let's get it over with. It's going to be time to go to the campaign. What are you taking so long for? We've sat here so long. See, but the early church didn't do that, whether it was all day or all night or whatever it might be. See, they went on because they were feeding. They wanted to share something with Jesus one time, and he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You know, and so then we have meat to eat that you know not of. The Bible said, he that overcometh, God will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, which is the revelation of the Son of God. The hidden manna. People that don't have time to stay, and people that don't have time to worship, and people that don't have time to leave their jobs and their businesses, and they stay entangled with the affairs of this world, they never get the hidden manna. They become routinists. And they get them something going with people or some church out here somewhere, and they get them some idea, and they spend days and months and years with it, and they put it all together, and they fascinate the people with it. And they really don't give the people nothing. The people just as empty and void as they were to start with. They don't have nothing. They just run as one that beateth the air, and the people don't know anything anyway. So they're just gullible, you know, and they just set whatever they can get a hold of. But anyway, God doesn't want a wasted life. He wants you and I to have something, to have the revelation, to have the hidden manna, to eat of this hidden manna that God has for us. He that overcometh. When you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean overcome? Overcome the flesh. Overcome you. You. Overcome you now. No one else. Overcome you. When you overcome you, Jesus in the wilderness overcome the flesh. And then he had power over all flesh because all hearts are prepared alike. Overcome you. Get you out. And let Christ live within you. And let Christ have the preeminence. And let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you that he, being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God, but took to himself of no reputation, or upon himself to make of himself no reputation, but humbled himself to the washing of the feet, to the humbling of the heart, and proved himself to be our great, wonderful Messiah, the leader. So then in this exhaled to the highest place and appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, whom God had translated into the other world. So I want to come in to my Godship. These visions, these things that are given, are for the edifying of the church. That we don't go through ritualistics and get into routine and spend our life in religious routine, but that we come together to grow in the grace of God and to grow in the knowledge of God and to go on to these things. As Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Have you got the spirit of revelation? I ask you the question, have you got the spirit of revelation? I read people come around and say, I've got revelation. I listened at them and I thought, no, you just got all out of control is what's wrong with you. And you got a brainstorm like a computer out of control. See, what they said didn't line up with the word. And though some people get a revelation, yet they won't walk in harmony with God and with the brotherhood. They've got to get out alone and do their thing, you know, and get away from the brotherhood and won't honor the brotherhood. So they wind up having a mixed up thing because they'll take a little bit of understanding and then they'll try to force a piece of the puzzle into a place where it won't fit. And it makes it all awkward. And like a brother said one time, they got a cow up in the tree eating grass. That's right, that's where he said it. So people get everything misconstrued, and they get it all out of harmony. See, but if you pray to God that he will give you the spirit of revelation, God will give you a new operation. One spirit, many operations. Pray to God that he will do that, and then when the church comes together, you'll have a tongue, you'll have a doctrine, you'll have a revelation, you'll have everything as to the edifying, and the Lord Jesus can return and pick up the church. He's waiting to do it right now. He's waiting to do it. It's just a matter of us getting in line because it's utterly impossible. And if you can prove me wrong, then I'd like for you to come and tell me. It is utterly impossible for him to return as long as one member is not in line with the church. That's why the Bible said the gospel must first be preached in all of the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. All right, so you see what a great calling we have. We're in this camp meeting not to come to church and say, well, hallelujah, we had a good camp meeting, I want to be there next time. We are in this church to get ready to become gods and to change into eternal gods so that we won't be lost. Don't jump on the babes when they're running around coming against these kind of things. Just love them. Pity them. Go on. Leave them alone. Don't bother them. After a while, they'll stump their toe and they'll come back hollering for you to do something for them. Just leave them alone. They're just little babies having a good time. When the shadows of the evening start falling, they'll say, where's mama? Where's mama? Where's dad? Where's dad? And they'll run for the house, and then you can instruct them before supper. All right. So it's, how do you know it's good to be a Christian? Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. Now, everyone that wants to use up their potentiality toward Godship and not become a god, I want you to raise your hand. Got 100%. Nobody wants to. So that means that we're all here for one purpose. That's to love God, to be in one mind and one accord. On the day of Pentecost, they got like that. And the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind because they were in not the minds of denominationalism as to division, or minds of their own ministry, minds of their own aggressiveness toward their own goals. One mind, even the biblical mind, even the mind Christ Jesus. When that mind gets in us, then the head is going to come back as to the body. He's going to come back, and then he's going to swallow us all up in him. Right now, he's on the scene. He is as a measure in every child of God that's got the Holy Ghost. And he's on the scene, even from a baby on up. He's on the scene. He lived that whole life from a baby in a manger. So he's on the scene. And it's one measure and another measure and another measure to the high power, moving on up, getting everything ready so he can come back. And they that resist the power, the Bible said, resist God and bring upon themselves swift damnation. So then, here we're moving on now. All of us coming together. It won't just be Bethlehem. It'll be everywhere. It'll have to be all over the world. I made the statement that by 1970, the lights will be going out. And I spoke of Brother Jack Coe and Brother Branham and all the great men, how they go out. And even Pete Tell, Jim Baker, and all that, how it would go out concerning Brother Swaggart and the problems he would run into. See, and it's all went out. Why? It's got to come to the bright morning star, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, even the day star, until it dawns within your heart, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That wonderful, glorious light that is coming forth of that city. So then, the question comes up like this, and I'm going to say this just before I read. I had somebody to come to me recently concerning this, and that's one reason I'll mention it. They're still present. That is, on the campground. Now, I was asked the question, I've been asked this question a number of times. They said, Brother Pike, tell me something. Is there actually a body of the Lord Jesus Christ? One that was crucified with nails and thorns and the spear in the side and the nails in the feet, all these kind of things? Was there one? Is there one? And this question, I tell you, you don't realize it, but this is a big, big thing that is all over the nation and the world. And hundreds of thousands of people are off track. But I was asked the question, is there a body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is the Lord here right now? Both. See, is God here already? Has the Lord Jesus Christ come? Yes and no. Oh, somebody says, that's confused. It can't be both ways. Oh, yes, it can be both ways. Because the Bible said he made in himself both. Twain. And it was rent in twain. And it was rent in twain for a certain purpose. So then he is here. Has he come back? Most assuredly he's coming back. He has come back. I tell you what, if you don't believe that, read the book of John. Read the book of Revelation. And you'll find out that when he spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said at that very point that it was the Lord's coming.
So then, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the coming of Christ. Where is he? The Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his saints, to be glorified within his saints, and that all the world will have to come and kneel before you and know that he hath loved you, because you are the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You are his body. You are the great city. You are his bride. And the Bible said a man and a wife, no longer two, but one. The twain was at Calvary, and we could go in that into Revelation and show you what happened and why it happened about Eve and Adam. But we don't have time to do that. But I'm telling you at this point, see as to what Christ has done for his bride in the church. Christ has come back. Oh, I wish we had about 3 hours to just talk with you about a little of it. I'm telling you the truth. But anyway, with this Christ coming back, he is in his temple. He is there. The Bible said, even concerning the minister, not be him speaking, but the Lord speaking within him. And the Bible said, concerning you as the membership of the body, that you're the temples of the Holy Ghost. God dwells in you. He walks in you. He talks in you because he's Almighty God. He's not God in the fullness to you only as to Calvary and as to grace. If you believe to go on to the full measure of the full stature. But he is God to you by measure as to whatever you will yield of your spirit, your angelic being, as to what little that you give him, so are you. I have people sitting in here right now, women and men alike. Have they been in religion? Some of them have been in religion for 10, 15 years, and they're tiny little bitty babes in Christ. They've never grown. They've never given themselves to anything but eating and drinking, resenting and finding fault as these spirits warred with their minds. And nobody has really led them into anything because they won't give themselves to nobody to lead them into anything. You know, they're always hollering, don't follow man. Bless God, don't follow man. I hear it over the radio. You know, we get up and preach over the radio and we preach, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. And they get up and they blast, don't follow man, don't follow man. And I say this so often, you know, that's the most hypocritical, childish thing that a person can do. They'll jump up and they'll do that all the time, trying to get the attention of the people to follow them, to listen to them. For the Bible said, of that which you've overcome, then are you taken into bondage to that. If you listen to that man, you know you're following him. If I come up to you and I say, don't follow Brother Taylor, don't follow Brother Taylor. And Brother Taylor, you finally quit following Brother Taylor. You're following me because I was the one that led you to do it. And you're following my leading. So people strain at a net and swallow a camel. And a lot of times folks say, well, I didn't have nobody to tell me. I just done it on my own. Well, you're in worse shape than anybody because, as I've said so often, you're following yourself. That's the worst fellow you could follow. Amen. Leaning to your own understanding when the Bible told you not to. All right, so then we're right back where we started. Follow the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Honor the Word of God. See, we're trying to work together as the ministry. What needs to be done? Brother Jehu needs to come together with me and I with him. And Brother Taylor with me and I with him. Or I with you and you with him. And them with, them with those people and those people with these people. And all of us come together, especially the ministry. Until the ministry comes together and gets rid of their foolishness, the sheep are going to be tore up. And God is going to require the blood at our hands. So we need to get together. Now, this is one of the things we need to get together on. Is there a Christ? Has he come back? He certainly has. And he's living in Brother Pike, and he's living in you, and he's living in the ministry, and he's living in the others. But brethren, this foolishness of ministers getting up, taking these things that God has revealed to the true children of God, putting them together and magnifying themselves that they are the Lord Jesus, and there ain't no human body of the Lord coming back that is of the devil. I said that is of the devil. And God will cut their tree down, and God will burn their field with fire. It is of the devil that's trying to take the glory of God Because there is a Jesus. He does have the prince in his hands. He does have the prince on his head. He does have the prince in his feet. And he does have the scar on the side. He is Jesus, the same Jesus that went into the grave, came up out of the grave. And if he had not come out of the grave, it would be a lie and vanity and wouldn't be a true resurrection. And that same Jesus that ascended from the Mount of Olives, the angelic being said, ye shall so see the same Jesus come in like manner. He's coming back. There is a human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever let anybody anywhere tell you that there's not a human body. There is a human body. All of you and I are moving toward the measure, the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and we're moving toward that wonderful one, folks, that you're going to see step out one day, and he's going to show you the nail prints, and he is going to outshine them all, and he's going to be the brightness of the glory of Almighty God and the fullness of God, and the radiation of it is going to be so glorious that all of the world is going to pass away. The Bible says after the great millennium, when Jesus has been made manifest as to the sonship following that great millennium, that the Ancient of Days is going to set, whose glory is so great that the mountains will dissipate and the oceans and the seas will be no more and everything will flee away. There will be nothing left except this great, wonderful, marvelous light, which is the understanding of the Almighty God. The light of Almighty God. Let me read this to you, chapter 16, the book of Isaiah. I took all my time just talking this morning. It said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, that is the people. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdoms that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So you see right here, it tells us that God is going to establish in the last days, the scripture tells us, God will establish in the last days the house of God, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now, I know that naturally speaking, we're talking about Israel, and all of the nations will come to Israel and build her gates back and give her money, and this wonderful place will come up as the head of the nations to bring on the millennium. I know that. That's in the natural. But all of that was symbolic of the Spirit. And if you look at these things right here, you'll find out that some of the things that are said, it goes in such a way that you know it has to be the church. In the Old Testament, even as David spake of Israel, as he spake of Israel, Jesus was projected through prophetical utterance that even David didn't know about. And when Jesus came, Jesus began to say, ye think that ye have eternal life, but those prophecies prophesy of me. He said, search the words, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but those scriptures are pointing to my coming and pointing to Calvary. All of this was about me, Jesus said. So then when we see this, he tells us that Zion is fixing to come into order. That you and I are to rise and shine. We're to rise and shine because our light has come, this great, marvelous light. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, when I look at Brother Taylor and I look at you and I look at some of the others, I don't see any special kind of light about them. Well, in the Old Testament, God let a special light be about them because it showed the glory of God breaking forth through the veil of the flesh. We've had people that said they saw lights and saw the glory of God about us. A priest that came here said he saw us in levitation. But nevertheless, see, we're speaking of a spiritual light. This is the light of the understanding. The Bible said that the understanding might be enlightened, that we might be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of these things. So then the great light has come. Our light has come. This camp meeting has to do with our light being here. Now, I know it's uncomfortable out there. You know, we got two heavy-duty air conditioning going, but the bodies heat up so much, you know, it makes it uncomfortable. But nevertheless, we're still here for a purpose. We're to endure at least a little bit of Calvary, a little bit of discomfort. You know, the old body, it don't want to endure anything because the devil is proging and the devil savors the things that be of the flesh. And the devil is saying, let's eat, let's drink, let's go to the ball game, let's frolic, let's do the things of the world. And the ministers, some of them don't have any better understanding than just to follow the devil. And they'll end their church services and go out to a ball game because they're void of understanding. They don't understand what God's doing and they don't know what's going on, and they won't follow anybody, won't listen to anybody. So the devil just takes them into captivity at his will. The Bible teaches that the things of this world, you know, are of the devil. To the extent that right now there's a curse upon it, and that Satan is the prince of the world, and the only thing they want to do is eat, drink. The people want to eat, drink, they want to have a good time. They listen to the devil, they're taken into captivity at the will of the devil. But anyway, the Bible said, let us rise, let us rise, let us get up. Let us make straight paths for ourselves. Well, the Bible said, so that the lame won't be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. See, we need straight paths for ourselves, folks. A lot of us in the world today, Paul said, I say I to keep from saying you, those that listen. A lot of people in the world today, they're not making straight paths for themselves. They're religious. They've been in this way for numbers of years. They're as religious as they can be. They know the Bible. They know the Bible, but they still don't know God. I said this a lot of times. You can be a believer and still be on your way to hell. The devil believes, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The Bible said the devil believes that and trembles. But you'll still be on your way to hell. You've got to have God's Spirit. The Bible said if you have not God's Spirit, you're none of His. There's no need of you thinking that you're going to do the will of God without the Spirit of God. No man can call Christ Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, how are you going to call Him Lord? How can you say that He's my Lord? Jesus said, how can you say Lord, Lord, when you do not the things that please me? Can a man be your master? Can a man be your Lord and you not do the things that God's commanded you to do? This is the Word of God. This is the way of God. And if you've got the Spirit of this Word, which is the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you'll testify to this Word in everything that you say. You'll testify to this Word in all the deeds that you do. Everything that you do will be concerning the Word. You'll testify to the Word, and you'll conform to the Word, and that will be your master. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So then, what are we doing? Let's arise. Let's arise. One of them said, let's arise and be going. Don't do like the lepers. Sat at the gate. They said one to another, why sit we here till we die? You've got leprosy. I've got leprosy. You know, you're born into sin. I'm born into sin. All of us have been born into sin. Why come together at the gate of God and sit there till we die with this ugly disease? Why not get up and move? Why not do something for God? That the man of God said last night, let's be up, let's be going, let's be about our Father's business. We've got things that we must do. Why sit we here looking at one another, trying to find fault and trying to figure out something? God said, thy light has come. Thy light has come. Brother Pike, what are you saying? I'm saying your light has come. The revelation of the Son of God is in the land. The revelation of Jesus Christ is in the land. The day star is beginning to dawn. The bright and the morning star is beginning to come. And this thing is in the land and the light's beginning to rise. Let's get together. Let's understand. Let's learn what God's got for us. Let's be subject to the high powers. Somebody said, well, I don't know. This fellow prophesies more than I do. Maybe he's the high power. Somebody said, well, this one travels more than I do. He's been all around the world. Maybe he's the high power. Or somebody said, this one is real religious. He just dances and dances and dances. Maybe he's the high power. But folks, let me tell you, the high power is the man that's got the spiritual word on the inside of him. I don't mean an intellectual brainstorm of trying to quote scriptures, but I'm talking about being born to the word of God that has the word of God on the inside of him, the spiritual things of God, and the revelation of Jesus Christ as it breaks forth on the inside. And wherever you meet that man, whatever his measure is, it doesn't make any difference. I've got to follow him, and you've got to follow him, and we've got to follow him. And we can run out here and do what we want to, and put our pictures in the paper and get on TV and get us a 10 and run all over the place trying to make a reputation for ourselves. But when we finish all of the things that we're doing, we're going to find out that God isn't going to receive us. So then, what do we do when we run from place to place with these things and not carrying the word and not doing the things that God tells us? What are we doing? We are running as one that beateth the air. We're going to and fro and we're causing a mess. We're causing a problem. We're creating proselytes. Twofold more, the child of hell. Then the true ministry can't reach them. See, and we're running all around trying to make ourselves a reputation, to present ourselves as being something that we are not. Whereas the Bible said, this is not the Spirit of God. God's Spirit the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Spirit isn't running all over the world trying to make itself a reputation. It's trying to feed the hungry. The Bible said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then to keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So then thy light has come. What is thy light? The great knowledge of God. And Paul said, now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places. These things it was not made known to mankind. And you run around and fill your ears with vain jinglings and the things of this world, doing those things and using up a life of a potentiality, a great life of potentiality that's so valuable to God. And God is always in pursuit, pleading and asking you to come to this light. For thy light is risen. And listen, folks, it said, and the light is risen upon you. That light is risen upon you. And it said, and all of the world is going to see this light upon you. The Bible said they saw that light upon Moses, and he had to put a veil over his face. See, there is a light. There is a light, a great, marvelous light. You say, well, the Baptists ain't got nothing. The Methodists ain't got nothing. The Presbyterian ain't got nothing. Well, we say again, yes and no. God uses them just like he was raising little chicks. He's got a place out there where the light isn't so bright to catch their attention, to turn them around. But folks, God sense to the Methodists. You know, I say this again, as my mother used to use her old-fashioned sifter, and she would pour the flour into it, and when she shake and shake, it wasn't nothing left but just those little old burrs and whatever there was in the flour. Forget what she called them, but it was the rejects, and she just flipped them out, you know. See, and all the flour fell through for the biscuits. So then that's the way the Methodist is, that's the way the Baptist is, and you know, this is the thing that a lot of folks don't accept, that's the way the Pentecostals is. Come on, some of you Pentecostals don't like that, do you? I said, God is sifting the Pentecostal church just like he is all the rest of them. He's sifting them. Somebody said, well, God sifted the Baptists. God sifted the Methodists. And he come out with the Pentecostals. I agree to that, but now he's sifting the Pentecostals and he's coming out with sons and daughters of God. Amen, that's right. God is sifting. Hallelujah. Not only is God sifting the Pentecostals, but he's sifting the non-denominational works. Come on, folks. All of us folks like to say, well, you know, this is it. This is it. No, there's still some sifting going on. Still some sifting going on. God's still sifting. Sifting. You just better pray that you and I have the right kind of potentials. The right kind of potentials. All you got to do is harden up just a little bit, like those things did in my mother's flour, and you'll find yourself not falling through. You'll find yourself not falling through. So thy light has come. The light has risen, and where is this light? It is upon you. What kind of light is it, Brother Pike? It's the knowledge of the revelation of the Son of God. It is the revealing of the Son of God, and we preached on that here a number of times as to what that is. Remember, God is a light. God is a spirit. God is a light. God is the light of glory, the light of understanding. And the anointing that you're always speaking of is God's light. There's a difference when darkness falls on a body and light falls on the body. There's a difference when the south wind blows and when the north wind blows. Whereas the Bible speaks of us being as the wind because we're born to the Spirit. Nobody can tell where we come from. Nobody can tell where we're going to, but we know. We know. This light, where is that light? Come on, folks. A lot of times I communicate with you, and some of you try to lead me to believe you're such a great light. The Bible said, let your works come forth, that men may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Brother Taylor sang that song, Let the Little Light Shine. I've got a little light. I'm going to let it shine. And the Bible speaks of the spirit of man, saying that on the inside, it is the candle of the Lord searching out the inward part. And the Bible said, if you don't do right, I'll come and move your candlestick. So then, where are we at tonight? Or today, this morning? Where are we at? We're here for the light. Oh, somebody said, I'm spiritual, Brother Pye. Don't you understand? I'm spiritual. I've done all these things. I've been in the church. I shout. I speak in tongues. I told the preacher off, Brother Pike. Well, God bless your little heart. You need to repent, get straightened out, and get in line with God so your little light can shine. Need to get you out of it and let God get into it so that the light can shine. Get your self-will out of the way. Get your stubbornness out of the way. Let Brother Pike do the same thing. Brother Taylor, all these other ministers, all these people. Let's get everything out of the way and let the light shine. Because the light has come. This is the hour of the light. Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let's stop trying to project ourselves by being on TV or prophesying and somebody saying, glory to God, they prophesied. Him, her. Let's do something for God and let's forget about personality and let's get in and let this little light shine. If you've got it, brother, let it shine because I want to see it. If you've got something for me, I want it. If there's anything that you've got that belongs to me, I want it. I want it. You say, well, it doesn't belong to you. I've got it, Brother Pike. But the Bible said, freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. I want it. If you've got anything at all, I want it. Hallelujah. I want to follow Christ with all of my heart. And I want to do the will of God and have the blessings of God upon my life. I want my life to so shine that men might see my good works. Folks, if you ain't got no good works, you ain't got no light shining. Because this light will make you do good works. Come on. I said, it'll make you do good works. Hallelujah. It'll make you think right. It'll make you talk right. You love the Lord. The old-fashioned preachers used to say, it'll make you spit white. A lot of folks used to chew the cud, you know. But anyway, I love you. I love you, and I care for you. Took up quite a bit of time this morning talking with you and still didn't get started good. I'm glad you're here. I just wanted to let you know in the morning service that this meeting has great significance. You're not here by chance. You may not be here anymore. Somebody else may be sitting in your place. But it's not by chance. And folks, let me tell you, don't use up the potentiality of godliness that you've got to become an eternal God. Don't use it up and then become skinworm meat. Don't use it up. Because see, if you do, you're just going to fill a hole and that's all it's going to be to you. But this thing is magnificent. Hallelujah. This is glorious. This thing, you know, it is so wonderful. I don't have any words for it except the wonderful words of God. Sing them over again to me, the wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. So then we're here to tell you that the light has risen upon you. This great Holy Ghost light. And you're going to be eaten of the hidden manna. You that overcome the beast, the old fleshly part. You're going to be eaten of the hidden manna. And we're going to have a good time. Hallelujah, we're going to have a good time. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're going to have a good time. Hallelujah. It's good to be here. I'd love to go on and go on, as the writer said, talking about this good old way. Talking about the Lord. But I know that you got to get out of here, and I know you got to get to the cafes and wherever so you can eat real good and get ready for tonight. And we're planning to have a good time tonight. How are you enjoying yourself in the Lord? Let me see your hand. How are you growing in the Lord? Just in the first service or two, you're growing in the Lord? Folks, if you're not growing, something's wrong with you. If you're not growing, you take it from Brother Pike. You may be as religious as you can be, but something's wrong with you. Because you must grow in the knowledge. Somebody would say, well, I don't think you can help me. Well, you're foolish for being here. I said, you're foolish for being here. You're in worse shape than I am if that'd be the case. Anybody that would do a foolish thing like that. But if we can help you and the ministry can help you. And the Bible said that they are set there for the perfecting of your faith, which faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. So that if we can help you, we're here to do you some good. Not to hurt you, but to do you some good. But we use great plainness of speech. All right, let's stand together. God bless your hearts. I appreciate you coming to be with us. You may get tired in your body. I do, sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I could, I don't know, could run through a troop and leap over a wall. God blesses me with health and strength and happiness, for which I'm very grateful. He promised to do that. He said that our strength would be as our day. Caleb's was, Moses was. His eyesight had not even waxed dim, that is Moses. Natural sources of his body wasn't abated. Even Abraham, the Bible said, God renewed his youth. So we can go on with God doing these wonderful things and live forever and forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Living for God, living by faith. So wonderful. How do you feel alive? Praise God. How do you feel alive from now on? Eternally alive. I feel eternally alive. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if you keep on pressing the battle, you know, after a while, God's going to give you eternal life and you can shout the victory. Oh, no, not with Brother Pike. Not that way. I've already got eternal life. I'm already shouting the victory. I don't have to press the battle. I'm just staying in the saddle while the Lord carries me on. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if you can just hold out. Somebody else said, no, you just hold on. You just hold on. You don't have to hold out. Somebody said, I've been struggling for 10 years, Brother Pike, getting rougher, but I'm trying my best. Well, bless your heart. Just get born again, and the Lord will just take you in on the wing of an eagle. For serving God is joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, and every day you feel stronger, you feel more happier, you feel more complete in Him. You learn more about Him, you love Him the more. And folks, we got the victory. How many know that we've got the victory?
Man.
The Bible said, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in what He's done for you.
Right.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? That brother sings that song, I feel good, good, good. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good. He sings that other song. He said, when you see me coming, you know I got him on my mind. Hallelujah. When you see Brother Pike coming, I got him on my mind, folks. I really have. I not only got him on my mind, but he just breaks me all to pieces on the inside. When I feel that mellow flow that I feel right now, that wonderful, sweet Holy Ghost, I feel it, and you know, he just breaks me all to pieces. He's so rich and so wonderful and so sweet. Jesus is all about Jesus. Let me tell you, folks, he's coming back. You that love the Lord as the Gentiles, you are a spiritual Jew. And the spiritual Christ has already returned to you, raptured you in, sealed you in the Holy Spirit. And Satan can never touch you. For the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He is born of God and he cannot sin because the evil one cannot touch him. But there is a natural body that was born among the natural Jews. It's coming back to a natural people of Israel. And they're going to see the nail prints. And they're going to say, where did you get these nail prints? And he's going to say, I got them in the house of my friends. Hallelujah. You never drove any nails in the hands of your friends, have you? You ever put a nail in the hands of your friend? I never will forget what Brother Oral Roberts said one time, coming along in his ministry, great and mighty at that time, following God. His little brother Vaden was a mean little fella for the way he talked. Some of the things he told, I think Vaden was a pretty nice guy, but as a boy, he was pretty mischievous. Now I will forget, said Vaden was trying to drive a nail. And Oral, you know, he went up, and Oral said he stuck his hand over on the stump where Vaden was trying to drive the nail. And said, Vaden said, Oral, don't do that, so I'll drive us through your hand. And Oral didn't believe it. He slapped it over, and Vaden popped it through the hand. I've often wondered if that's why Oral would say, you know, I feel the power of God in this hand. It was nailed to the stump. Have you ever drove a nail in the hands of your friend? In the hands of your brother, that's what Vaden did. The Bible said, inasmuch as you did it for the least of one of these, you did it unto me. You to love one another. Love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend, that ye shall love one another. For the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And then the next is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Please tell all the people that there will be dinner outside about 30 minutes after service is dismissed. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Oh, Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely that's the work that I can do. Sing it with me now. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work. Sing it with me, folks. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a way that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross, we got a little bit of time before lunch, so we might as well give an altar call. Jesus, won't you use me? No, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a word that
And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though,
come on, folks. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. If you feel the Holy Ghost this morning, now's the time. Hallelujah. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright of the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Is that the way it is with you? He's my Holy Ghost Redeemer. Is he your Holy Ghost Redeemer? To me, he's everything. You love him? Sing it again. Oh, Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, Lord, I will to crumble for the cross. Can you sing it one more time with me? Hallelujah. Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a word that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross, how many of you's got a cross today? Let me see your hand. Have you been going through a cross? So Jesus, won't you use me? And, oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely, folks, let's everybody come to the altar this morning, can we? We've got a few minutes before the serving. Let's everybody come to the altar this morning. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. It might save your life down the road. Who knows? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, can we? Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. How many know the anointing breaks the yoke? Don't you feel good? Hallelujah. Don't you feel free in your spirit? Feel like praising the Lord? Hallelujah. Thy light has come. Glory to God, thy light has come. Let that light shine that men may see your good work. Your light has come. Hallelujah. At last, your light has come. I believe we found the baby, don't you? Hallelujah. I believe we found the baby. The Bible said just as soon as he was born, he was caught up to the throne. I've done got him sitting on the throne of my heart. I hope you have too. Hallelujah. I believe we found him. Glory to God. That light, that beautiful light, that light has come. Your light has come. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I feel his presence. Don't you feel his presence? Don't you feel real good? Clean on the inside. Don't you feel real clean like he's baptized you with the Holy Ghost? Just washed away your sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to use me. I really do want him to use me. I saw a brother sitting back in the balcony when I was preaching. Amen. Praise God. He was spurring me on. So good. Something has happened. The light has really come. Folks, this is it. This is it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, someday. Oh, glory to God, this is the day. I'm going to sing that song. How do you believe this is the day? Can you help me sing? This is the day that the Lord has made. Help me, Brother Taylor. Let's sing this song.
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day.
Give him a wave offering.
This is the day that the Lord hath.
Can you sing it again? Can you?
The Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let's give him another hand. I say hallelujah. It's all right. Praise God. This is the day, folks. You know, the day has been ever since Calvary. Isn't that right? It's been ever since Calvary. But we've never gotten a hold of it until today. That is to say, we've been growing in the grace and knowledge, but now has come the time. This was in the Old Testament spoken of, but there was a day when the veil would be taken away. Even that where Paul said, and what will it be at the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ? Some of you are not going to be able to believe it. Some of you are not going to be able to get a hold of it. But I'm telling you, this is the day. This camp meeting marks the going forth of the light of the revelation of the Son of God that will end in the translation of the church. It will bring the church in. The baby's found. And it will bring the church in. I saw the revelation the other day. Something took place the last day or two. The great revelation of Christ Jesus. Where it showed now is come power.
Hallelujah.
How do you feel power? You know what power comes? When your faith in God begins to be released. When you get to where you can release your faith in God and you get to where you can believe. You know, you can make believe and you can have all kinds of meetings, do all kinds of things. But folks, when the condemnation is gone out of here and you get to thinking, my God, this is the move of God. This is the thing of God. This is the light of God. But you know the good part about it is somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I don't know whether I can believe that or not. But it can't be that way with me. I said it can't be that way with me. You say, why? Because I've already got it. I've already seen it. I've already heard it. I've already tasted it. I've already enjoyed it day after day after day. So it ain't a matter of me wondering whether or not it's come. Brother, it's already come to me. I'm just telling you it's come to you. Now's your chance. Now's your chance. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We're going to sing. What was that we was going to sing? We're going to sing a song. Somebody help me. While we're saying glory, 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 and get to that other one later. Let's sing this one, sister.
Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Good God, and while I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. While I was praying, somebody touched me. No, it was the hand. Can you sing it, Billy? Oh, glory God. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. No, it was the hand. Oh, while I was praising him, somebody touched me. While I was praising him, somebody touched me. While I was praising him, somebody touched me. Oh, it was the hand of the Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touched me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me, glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. It was the hand of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. The Lord told me to bring my wife up here. And I kind of passed it off. And I thought, well, I'll call her up here. And then I forgot it. And then he reminded me again to bring her up here. You know, Betty's a good wife. I don't like to say that too much in front of her, you know, Mike. But anyway, she's a good wife, and she's been a wonderful mother. She's been a mother to a lot of you, too. If she's been a mother to you, let me see your hands. Come on. Come on, let me see your hands. See, somebody told her today that she was the only, said, you're the only mother I got, Sister Betty. See, what about the mothers in the church? If Sister Betty is a first lady and she's an example of mothers, what about the mothers in the church? Folks, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. I'm telling you the truth before God, and I wouldn't lie to you. This is the truth. This is your light. Your light really has come. This morning marks your light. Now, I want to see how many of you are going to really press in to see that people around the world get this. They're coming to it everywhere. I mean all over the world. The Bible said of the isles, them of the isles shall come to your light. Them of the Gentiles. We've got a brother here from out of India that's been here a number of times. Has come to this light. Over in Israel, Brother Michelson came to that light. We had a brother the other day that come up here to this light. He's wanting us to go into a certain island with this light. And we have people from all over the world, and that's the truth, of different parts of the world that are pleading for this light. Let your light shine. How many of you is letting your light shine? Let me see your hand. If you're trying to let your light shine, are you trying to let your light shine? Let your light shine. Get into the great revelation of the Son of God. You may not be in the deep mysteries of God, but get whatever you can. Do whatever you can. Take your light. But don't pull away from the brethren. Don't dishonor the brethren. Don't try to cut yourself off from the brethren. Don't go out there and be ashamed of the brotherhood of God. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you on the day of the judgment. What, did you know that holiness is the only clean thing there is? Did you know that? Folks, if you ain't got holiness, you're unclean. I said, if you ain't got holiness, you're unclean. God is the spirit of holiness, and he's the only cleanliness there is. That's what cleanliness is holiness. Mine, don't you want to be clean? I want people to know I'm clean, don't you? I want to be clean, godly, and holy. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? We're going to sing another chorus to you. Is that all right? Give me another key, sister. Another key, sister. I love him. Have me sing it, Betty. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me. And he salvation on Calvary. Oh, it's gone And the stone is rolled back gone. And the tomb is empty gone. Who sit at my Father's? Hallelujah. How many went over and saw the stone rolled away? Gone. Oh, what a trial. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. And he lives.
Don't you feel that freedom? How many of you feel that freedom? That completeness? How do you feel a completeness like you've never felt before? As if to say, oh my God, a sigh of relief. The bonds are gone. The bonds are gone. The weights are gone. He paid it all. Hallelujah. Oh, he's gone. Over death triumph. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. And he lives forever. We're going to sing it again. Oh, he's gone. Oh, the stone is rolled back gone. And the tomb is empty gone. Who sit at my Father's side? Oh,
he's gone.
Oh, what a triumph gone. Let's give him another wave offering. Come on, let's give him another wave offering. Let it go way down on the inside now. Let it go way down on the inside. Yield up your spirits to him. Don't worry about nothing in the past. Don't worry about nothing in the future. Don't worry about nothing in the present. Just let him in now. Oh, he's gone. Let him in now. Let him in your heart. In your spirit, in your life, yield it all up now. Yield it all up. Everything. Forget about your ambitions. Yield it all up. We're getting ready for him to come now. Getting ready for him to come. Something's happening here that you never understand in 100 years unless God revealed it to you. Yield it up now. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Tell him you love him. God inhabits the praise of his people. Oh, he's gone. God inhabits the praise of his people. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know what that means? That means that God is a spirit. He's got some spiritual gates. The Bible said, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. And it said to the world and all of them out there, the gates of hell won't prevail against this. Oh, he's gone. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates. Open up. I stand at the heart's door and knock. You'll open to me, I'll come in and sup with you. He'll fill your heart with the love of God. And your cup will run over. Open up your heart, brethren. Open up your heart. Come on. Some of you are not opening up your heart over here in the brothers. Open up your heart. You'll be left out. You'll be left out. Open your heart, sisters. Sing it again. Oh, he's gone. The Lord wants to come in. He wants to come in. He wants to use you. He wants to utilize that God potentiality you've got to make you into an eternal God. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you're never going to die. Never going to die. If you've got the Holy Spirit within you, if you're his and if you release that potentiality, you're never going to die. You're going to be eternal. Eternal. And you're going to be perfect and you're going to be rich. I want to sing it again. Yes, he's gone. The Lord is wanting to come in. You have to open up. He wants to perfect you. Yield it all up. Give it all up. Give it all up. Hallelujah. Let go. Let go. Let go. Turn that angelic being loose. Let it go. You say, Brother Pike, I'm not bound. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Some of you are. Oh, he's gone. Now listen, folks. That angelic being, he's removed. The devils that are in this world work in the human body to bind your mind using your brain, to bind your spirit, works in that human body to bind your angelic spirit so that it can't get out to God. Turn it loose. Stop being carnal. Stop reading. Don't lean to your own understanding. Or he's gone. Hallelujah. Can you worship him? Can you worship him with your spirit? You've got to worship him with your spirit. God is a spirit. Formality won't do. Ritualistics won't do. You've got to release your spirit, that angelic being on the inside. You enter into his gates, his spiritual gates, by transformation of your mind. That's through thanksgiving. As you release your spirit, as you release your spirit, then your spirit goes into that wonderful place by transformation through those lovely gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I say, oh God, how can I get into your gate? He said, if you'll start praising me, start loving me, you'll transformate into my gates. And you'll find yourself into my courts with praises. Do you want to transformate into his gates? Enter in through those gates. Come on into those gates. Go into those gates. Many people never get into those gates. Transformate in those gates by praises. Oh, he's gone. Gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. Who sit at my Father's side? Oh, he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives. I want to sing this song again that we sang this morning at the beginning of the service. I will praise him. Can you sing it with me? I will praise him. Praise the Lord. For sinners slain, hallelujah, will give him glory. All ye people, for his blood has washed away. I want you to sing that with me, and I want you to praise him. I will praise him. Can you praise him? I will praise the Lord for sinners slain. Give him praise. Can you sing that one more time with me? Can you praise him? There's a brother over to my left. He has reasoned so much in his lifetime. Messed with so many things unlike Jesus. Until he's got himself in a complex. And he can't release his spirit and his angelic being above his human reason. A very pitiful case. But you know what? A lot of times, Lucifer will tell you that it's too late, and the things you've done, that you won't be able to cross over. Sometimes that's true. But folks, this very day, I feel deliverance. How do you know there's deliverance here? And I feel deliverance for you. If you'll put them hands up and stop your reasoning, God will bring you over that hump. He'll bring you over that hump. That brother believed me. He'll bring you over that hump. Woo, I feel that. Glory to God. I feel the devil leaving. I feel that bondage broken. I feel the Holy Ghost. And if you feel like dancing a little bit and shouting a little bit, I feel like that's all right too. Hallelujah. We're here to praise Him in the shout, to praise Him in the dance, to praise Him by clapping our hands, to praise Him by saying hallelujah, whatever it might be. I felt a victory. I felt a deliverance. I felt that thing break. God did something. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song again, can't we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. Oh, I will praise Him. Praise Him. I believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, we're the sons and daughters of God. We're the believers. All things are possible to us. It's for you. It's for me. Now's the time. Your light has come. Now's the time. Your light has come. Shine, folks. Shine like you never have. Shine. God has taken the cross and He's brought you light. He's ready to glorify you, lift you up, translate you. He's just waiting for you to say, come, Lord Jesus. Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Come, Lord Jesus. Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. And the Bible says those that love His appearing, He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for Him. Can you say, come, Lord Jesus? Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The writer of that revelation said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're going to sing it again. Oh, I will praise. I will praise. Praise the Lord for sinners. Hallelujah. I feel so good. Don't you? Give Him glory, all ye people. His blood has washed away. Oh, hallelujah. Close your eyes and say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oramandarama Shidabariandaramandarama Sandarama Sandaramanaya Ulamasti Andali Andalabo Shandaramasti Oriandaramo Shai. Hallelujah. Give Him glory, all ye people. Oh, His blood has washed away. Don't you feel good and clean now? If you feel clean, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel clean. Glory to God. I've been under the shower and I feel clean. Ready to put on my Sunday suit now. Ready to put on my Sunday suit. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand, can we? You ready for your beautiful garments? You ready for that Sunday suit? He said, put on your garments. Ooh, hallelujah. Put on your beautiful garments. Put on your beautiful garments. Have you put on your beautiful garments? You say, Brother Pike, what is my garment? The Bible said to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to pull the lust out. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, to put ye on your beautiful garments. The wedding supper is here. Hallelujah, the wedding supper is here. Have you got on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been putting on the Lord Jesus Christ every day? Have you been conforming to His way and His mind? Taking to you the wonderful ways of God, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, your light has come. Your light has come, and now's the time to let it shine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a hand, can we? You ready for your beautiful garments? You ready for that Sunday suit? He said, put on your garments. Hallelujah. Put on your beautiful garments. Put on your beautiful garments. Have you put on your beautiful garments? You say, Brother Pike, what is my garment? The Bible said to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to pull the lust out. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, to put ye on your beautiful garments. The wedding supper is here. Hallelujah, the wedding supper is here. Have you got on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been putting on the Lord Jesus Christ every day? Have you been conforming to His way and His mind? Taking to you the wonderful ways of God, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your light has come. Your light has come, and now's the time to let it shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song. We're going to close in just a few minutes. We're going to sing that song, I Got a Little Light.
Got a little light, I'm going to let it shine. Got a little light, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, shine, shine. Shine all over Monroe. Got a little light, I'm going to let it shine. You didn't think I could sing it, did you? Let's try it again. We got a little light, we're going to let it shine. Got a little light, and I'm going to let it shine. Shine, 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 shine all over the world. Got a little light, I'm going to let it shine.
Somebody say praise the Lord. It's hard to hem up a songwriter. Did you know that?
Got a little light, and I'm going to let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, shine, shine. Shine all over me. I'm a little light. I'm gonna let it shine.
Sometimes Sister Betty, she'll catch me. She'll say, I knew you made that up. I knew you made that up. All right, let's sing another chorus tune. We really are gonna let you go home. All right, we'll sing this little chorus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. We don't want your gold or silver. We don't want your diamond ring. All we want,
hallelujah,
is the love of Jesus for to me.
You know what, folks? There's been a move in the land, and we've been preaching tents, revivals, wherever. We'll continue to do that. We preach prosperity. We preach blessings and the wonderful things of God. We do. But a lot of ministers, that's all they do. They just preach prosperity, healing, prosperity, everything to the flesh. You know? And they want the gold, and they want the silver, and they want the offering. We've had that. We've had people put their rings in, the watches in, everything, you know. And men sometimes didn't put their stuff in. But that move is over. How do you know that move is over? And now there's a move that don't want the gold and silver. Hallelujah. It's time for your light to shine now. How do you know that God owns all the gold and all the silver? That it belongs to Brother Pot. Oh, somebody said, I can't say amen to that, Brother Pot. Well, what about belonging to me and you? Can you say amen to that? How do you know it belongs to the children of God? All, everything is ours, folks. Everything is ours. An eternal life and strength to enjoy it throughout eternity. See, and the move of God is just now breaking forth. For them people of God that don't want the gold and silver, they're seeking the kingdom and all the rest of it's added. And here they are getting ready to go out of Egypt saying, hallelujah. And then people said, oh my God, you can have my bracelets and you can have my rings. Just take me with you, do something, you know. And they're saying, hallelujah, it all belongs to us anyway. Let's sing that again, can we? Can you give him another wave off? And I believe that. I believe that little sister from over in Fort Lauderdale, she's really enjoying herself, Sister Betty. I believe she is. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Is that what you want? For me. One more time, we're going to spell. I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. Oh, give him another wave offering. In the Old Testament, they gave him a wave offering. I want you to lift your hands up with me now and close your eyes. If you love Jesus, I want you to tell him. I want you to tell him that you love him. Hallelujah. Tell him that you love him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you love him. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the one they call Grandpa if he'll come up and dismiss us while we love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. While Grandpa's coming, let's love the Lord. Something's taking place this morning. Grandpa, he comes out of Palestine too. Hallelujah. Let's lift the hands back up. Let's close our eyes. I want to hear somebody say hallelujah. I want to hear somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As Grandpa comes to pray with us, I want you to tell Jesus how much you love him. All right?